I have nothing to disclose. Okay, it sounds like I had a really good time on Bourbon Street last night, but I actually didn't. I have a cold, so I'm very sorry, and I hope you can understand me. Can you understand me right now? Okay. If it gets bad, feel free to, like, wave. I mean, it's, yeah, good luck. I'm going to kind of give you just a quick overview so that way you don't have to listen to me squeak the whole time, okay? So there are two main learning objectives from today, and you can read them, so I don't have to. So first, I just want to talk about alcohol. We know that alcohol is an issue among college students. We know a lot of college students are drinking. You can see from the core survey research, this is a survey that's done annually at the Southern Illinois University, over 80% of college students have used alcohol at least once in the past year, which, you know, that's not that big of a deal, except that that's a lot of students, and a lot of them are underage. And then if you see, about 70% have used alcohol at least once in the past 30 days. And then the thing that gets a little more alarming is when you see the percentage of binge drinkers. So these are individuals who've consumed alcohol at least five drinks in one sitting, and that's at almost 43%. So if people are drinking alcohol, then there's a risk of having alcohol-related problems. Because if you're not drinking, you're not going to get in trouble from alcohol. There's things to consider when you think about alcohol-related problems. There's a severity of the consequences. Obviously, you know, if you have a hangover, that's not quite as severe as driving while under the influence. So just things to consider. And then there's also intrapersonal and interpersonal issues associated with alcohol-related problems, because some problems just affect you while others problems affect others as well. So again, looking at the core survey research, the data results from 2013, about 31% reported some form of public misconduct in the past year, and almost 22% reported serious personal problems. So kind of transitioning a little bit to look at just the religious, or how religion influences behavior. Religiosity has been linked to lower rates of alcohol use among college students, and just risky behaviors in general. There was a study done in 2013 by Barry and colleagues who looked at religiosity, and they found that it consistently and negatively correlated with risky behaviors among Christians, Jewish students, and Muslim students. So it wasn't that it was just a specific religion that reduced the rates of risky behaviors. And then something else just to realize, when we're talking about religion, spirituality, religiosity, there's a lot of words. And a lot of ways to measure this. So that's some of the issue when we're looking at research in religion. So the purpose of this study is to examine the difference in alcohol-related problems experienced by college students based on perceived religious influence on alcohol use. So let me just tell you quickly how we did the data collection. It was a convenient sample of college students. There are 910 surveys that we used. There were 977 surveys that were collected, and I'll tell you a little bit about why we excluded some of them in a minute, but these students come from a variety of undergraduate courses. It was a paper and pencil survey that was created on Teleform, and I don't, if you're familiar with Teleform, it's just a scannable survey. So it was created in Teleform. I was able to scan it, and then I verified. So the last bullet talks about verification, but I verified 10% of the surveys, and they were very accurate from what students put in. Obviously, it's self-report, so. But at least we know that what was entered on the survey is essentially what was in the data set. The surveys were administered to college students in a classroom setting. Like I said, the surveys were scanned, entered, and verified. So some of the surveys were excluded if the students were not traditional undergraduate college students. So if they were outside the range of 18 to 24, they were excluded from the survey or from the sample. There weren't very many. Most of the exclusions were based on the fact that it was just demographic information that was collected, or there wasn't enough survey information collected, so the students were excluded. And then participants were enrolled in at least one class at the university where this study was conducted. So this is where it's going to get a little confusing, because I'm going to start talking about rad and rand and non-religious. But the way that the religious influence variable was created is I asked two questions of survey respondents. I asked if they were religious, and then I also asked if their religious affiliation discouraged alcohol use. Now, this gets a little confusing because you're like, wait, so if they did not discourage, yeah, that's a double negative. I'm really sorry, but that was the best way I could do it. So if somebody was religious and their religious affiliation did not discourage alcohol use. Then they were the RAND group. So those are the ones who are religious, but drinking was possibly okay in their religious affiliation. And then those who religious affiliation did discourage alcohol use, they're our RAD group. So it's RAD that their religious group did discourage alcohol. See, I'm getting confused myself. But the RAD is the group that will hopefully have lower rates. And then there's a non-religious group as well. And then another measure that we're going to look at in this study is alcohol-related problems. So I kind of cited a few of the core survey results, and I took 14 items from the core survey's alcohol-related problems scale. There were some that I did not include, and then I added one additional question that had to do with being a passenger with someone who has been drinking. So I adjusted these questions because in the core survey it was looking at alcohol-related problems in the past year, but I wanted to look in the past 30 days. So I obviously made quite a big change to the response options, but the internal reliability was still high at 0.85. So I created a summary variable that I used as a continuous variable. So non-drinkers all had a score of 0 alcohol-related problems because if they weren't drinking, they weren't going to have consequences. I ran some statistical, just descriptive statistics, and then ANOVA was run on the variables, and it was significant, so I ran post-hoc, a Bonferroni post-hoc test, and just so you know, alpha was set a priori at 0.05 for this study. Are y'all doing okay with my squeaky voice? Okay. Can you understand most of it? Okay, good. So our sample, overall, like I said, there were 910 students in the sample. They were mostly female. They're mostly white. They were mostly underclassmen, with the majority being freshmen and sophomores. So that means most of them were underage. As you can see, almost 70% of the sample was underage. So 70% of these people should not be drinking, but they were. Majority were non-Greek, non-athletes, and again, the majority were religious. So when looking at the religious influence, approximately 11% identify as non-religious. So the 90% that did identify as religious, half was religious where alcohol use was discouraged, and the other half was where it was not discouraged. So you can see in the table, I kind of broke it down as individuals who are current drinkers and non-drinkers based on their religious influence. The alcohol-related problems that were most identified by participants, obviously the first one is they had a hangover, with over half of the drinkers experiencing a hangover. And then about 33% had been a passenger with someone who had been drinking. And you can kind of see just the breakdown of the different consequences. So the results, so I ran one-way ANOVA with looking at the means of alcohol-related problems based on the religious affiliation. You can see that the ANOVA was significant for the overall. ANOVA was significant. So the post hoc test showed that there was a difference between religious, the RAD group and the non-religious, and the RAD group and then the religious where the alcohol use was not discouraged. So those who were religious and alcohol use was discouraged had the lowest rates of alcohol-related problems. But it was interesting because there was no significant difference between the non-religious and the individuals who identified as religious, but the alcohol use was not discouraged. So a few studies have really examined perceived religious influence. A lot of times the research is looking at specific denominations or religious groups, but not necessarily just the perception of how religion influences your behavior. And that was the other part of this study that was kind of interesting. Of course, I think the whole thing's interesting because it's mine, but it is also looking specifically at one behavior. So it's how is religion influencing your alcohol use? And it's the perception that the individual holds. So like I mentioned the study before, there was a study by Barry and colleagues last year that looked at Christians, Jews, and Muslim students. And so the results of this study, the Barry study, are similar to what I found as well, that there is a reduction based on religion. And just to give you kind of a perspective, 5% of Americans identify as with a religious affiliation, and it's not all Protestant or any specific religion necessarily. I mean, the majority of Americans do identify as Christian, but there's a lot of denominations that are broken down within that. So when looking at the population that I was working with, 89% identified as religious. However, the study that I conducted was conducted in the South, in a very religious area of the country anyway, so it would be interesting to take the study to a different population. And as I mentioned, the RAD group is the one that had the lowest rates of alcohol-related problems. But the other two groups, the RAND and the non-religious groups, there wasn't a significant difference, but there still was a little bit of a difference. So I would love to go back into a different population and see if there is a difference in a different geographical region or even just a different population, whether it's adults versus the college students. And something else that was unique to this study, or I didn't find anything else in other studies, is the fact that religious individuals were further broken down. We would have missed a relationship where we were able to see that the religious individual, the RAD group, had much lower rates than the RAND group. And if you look at the means of the groups, the RAD group had the lowest, the non-religious was the next group, and then the RAND was the group that had the highest rates of alcohol-related problems. However, there wasn't a significant difference between the non-religious and the RAND group, so that's something to keep in mind. But that's why I think it'd be interesting to further study the relationship between the RAND group and the non-religious group. So obviously every study has limitations. I have quite a list here, right? But it was a convenient sample, I did tell y'all that. It was self-reported data, and it was cross-sectional data. It would also, I think, be very interesting to see that as college students, as they're kind of becoming their own and identifying their own religious beliefs, how that would influence behavior. So I would love to take this, and this is a longitudinal study. The measurement summary of alcohol-related problems, this is a limitation because if you have a hangover, it's going to have the same score as if you were driving under the influence. So obviously, the way that variable was measured, there's some limitation to it, but it also still found some, it was still useful in this study. And then I did exclude the non-religious individuals whose religious affiliation discouraged alcohol use. I didn't really identify that in the table that I was looking at. But there were 8 students that identified as non-religious. So it was just too small of a sample to actually analyze. But that would be another really, really interesting group to study to see, you know, what's going on with these individuals who are now identifying as non-religious, but they're also identifying some type of religious affiliation. So what can we do with this? So what? Excuse me. The perceived influence of religious affiliation really could be an interesting and important concept to consider when creating alcohol risk programs, alcohol risk reduction programs. So just, you know, looking at religion, but taking it a step further and looking how is religion influencing these college students. So that's kind of what I would like to see happen next. So again, just looking at religious affiliation, how it's behavior specific, and then also possibly looking at religion as a continuum and not necessarily just as a yes, I'm religious or no, I'm not, but how it can be looked at as a continuum. So there's some references. I guess we'll take questions. So thank you for surviving for this week.